Hello, welcome to the Show Oshibeson podcast. Show Oshibeson is the lead pastor, Grace Made Christian Center, where we raise change agents. We do hope you'll be refreshed by God's word today. Happy listening.
Ends together for Jesus. Jesus is taking care of you. Praise God. Say, neighbor, Jesus is taking care of you. Tell them this, say the facts. That you are alive today is proof positive that Jesus is taking care of you. Pull those hands together for Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. And take your seat in the house of the Lord. Can we celebrate the great psalmist for that powerful, sweet, anointed ministration this morning? Glory to God. Please celebrate them better. Praise God. Do it better. Glory to God. The Lord has declared that this month of March will be a month of good things. Well, I thought you would be excited about that. It says in Psalm 103 verse 5. Show me the scripture. Psalm 103 verse 5 says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your strength is renewed or your youth is renewed like that of the eagle. In this month of March, God will satisfy your mouth with good things in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I like the word satisfies because it's going to fill you to the fullest. Oh, I thought you would say a loud amen to that. Say, who satisfies your desires with good things? So this month of March, all desires will come to pass. Oh, I thought you would say amen to that this morning. It says, your youth is renewed like the eagles. So this year, or in this month of March, you will mount up wings as eagles. In the name of Jesus, you will run and not grow weary. You would walk and not faint. In the name of Jesus. Say a more convincing amen to that this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis 47. Hallelujah. Genesis 47, verse 13. Genesis 47, 13 to 27. Glory to God. Please look to your left, to the right, and tell your neighbor, Happy New Month. Say, welcome to March. Tell them this month of March, you'll march forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 47, 13 to 27. If you're there, say, yes, I'm there. If you're not there, say, wait for me. Genesis 47, 13 to 27. It says, there was no food. However, in the whole region, because the famine was severe, both Egypt and Canaan wasted away because of the famine. Joseph collected all the money that was to be found in Egypt and Canaan in payment for the grain they were buying, and he brought it to Pharaoh's palace. When the money of the people of Egypt and Canaan was gone, all Egypt came to Joseph and said, give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? Our money is all gone. Verse 16. Then bring your livestock, said Joseph. I will sell you food in exchange for your livestock, since your money is gone. So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and he gave them food in exchange for their horses, their sheep and goats, their cattle and donkeys. And he brought them through that year with food in exchange for their livestock. When that year was over, they came to him, They came to him the following year and said, we cannot hide from our Lord the fact that since our money is gone and our livestock belongs to you, there is nothing left for our Lord except our bodies and our land. Why should we perish before your eyes? We and our land as well, buy us and our land in exchange for food. And with our land, we'll be in bondage to Pharaoh. Give us seed so that we may live and not die, and that the land may not become desolate. So Joseph bought all the land in Egypt for Pharaoh. The Egyptians won and all sold their fields because the famine was too severe for them. The land became Pharaoh's, and Joseph reduced from the people to servitude from one hand to Egypt to the other. However, he did not buy the land of the priests because they received the regular allotment from Pharaoh and had food enough from the allotment Pharaoh gave them. That is why they did not sell their land. Glory to God. I want to choose for you title this morning, How to Thrive in Famine. How to Thrive in Famine. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would anoint your word in the name of Jesus. Speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Enlighten our darkness. Open our eyes of understanding to know the hope of your calling for our lives. To know what to do and how to navigate this season of our lives as a people, as a nation, in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Church says a loud amen. Glory to God. How to thrive in famine. The first thing I'd like to say this morning is that famine is not a new thing. Tell them, famine is not a new thing. 2 Corinthians 10:13. The Bible says there's no temptation taking you, say, that is common to man. Glory to God. Let me read that scripture. It says, for however, we would not boast beyond, there's no temptation taking you. Where is that again? Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's see that. Maybe that's it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation assists you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. Tell them, say, God is faithful. Does that sound like your story this morning? Say, God is faithful. It says, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he would also provide the way so that you can stand up on that. Tell them, say, neighbor, in this season, I will stand up on that. Oh, tell them like you mean. Say, neighbor, in this season, I will stand up under it. Glory to God. So the famine is not a new thing. We see that, you know, in Genesis 26, says, now there was a famine in the land. That's Genesis 26 verse 1. Besides the previous famine in Abraham's time and all of that. We see that in 2 Kings chapter 6. 24 to 29. I'm just trying to lay the foundation this morning. 2 Kings chapter 6, 24 to 29. It says, sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. So in other words, there was inflation in the land. Do you see that? As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried to him, help me, my lord the king. The king replied, if the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? He said, neighbor, I can't help you. Say, neighbor, your help is not in my hand. Say, neighbor, your help is in the hand of God. Glory to God. Said the king replied, if the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor, from the wine press? Then he asked her, what is the matter? Look at what happened. Very interesting. She answered, this woman said to me, give up your son so we may eat him today. Now the famine was so severe in the land that they began to practice, what do you call this now? Cannibalism? Right. So this is not exaggeration or what they call hyperbole or simile in figures of speech. This is real life. Real life. Actually, has it gotten this bad? Oh, glory to God. She answered, this woman said to me, give up your son so we may eat him today. and tomorrow we will hit my son. Look at transactions. The next day I said to her, after they had eaten our own son, so the next day I said to her, give up your son so we may hit him. But he had hidden him. So they had our own son together. When it was time to hit our own son, she went to hide him. God punish wicked people in this world. When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his robes. As he went along the wall, the people looked and they saw that under his robes he had sackcloth on his body. He said, may God deal with me, be hit ever so severely with if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today. This is a very terrible condition. So before you say that things are bad, understand that things have been badder than what we currently are facing right now. So this was a situation where people began to practice cannibalism. They were eating their children because they were hungry. Glory to God. Say glory to God. Genesis 41. Genesis 41. Just to substantiate the fact that famine is not a new thing. From Bible days, there was famine. There will be famine even after this one. Glory to God. Say glory to God. But I want to show you what your attitude should be. Your disposition. Genesis 41:28. Let me just lay the foundation before we fly this morning. Genesis 41:28-21. Says, it is said, it is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance of Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. So famine in the nation is not a new thing. Okay, when we speak about famine, we are talking about a difficult time, a tough time where there's no food. You see that in 2 Kings chapter 6, there was inflation. Things were happening in the socioeconomic space. People were, you know, depressed, confused, you know, dollar rising up like, you know, I mean, different things. I mean, I was going to pay for something in dollars, and then I had made the payment. No, I wanted to make the payment. So the guy called me in the account office. I said, sir, dollar just increased now. I said, Jesus. I said, let me quickly pay now because you don't know what will happen next. Praise God. So you see dollar rising and falling, rising. And people are asking questions. But you see, one of the things I've come to understand is that as believers, there is a disposition that we must take to understand that God does not want us to experience life as common men. In John 16 from 18 to 20, he says, you are in this world, but you are not of this world. Even though we are here in this world physically, we are not bound or governed by the systems, by the rulings, by the happenings in this world, because we operate as believers by a different set of rules. The modus operandi that we have as believers is not the same like the people in the world. That's why it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. If you read NLT, Romans chapter 12, it says, be not conformed to this world, or do not copy the behavior and the patterns of this world. Show me that, Romans 12, NLT. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So as a believer, as a child of God, the way you think must be different. You cannot think like ordinary men. Glory to God. You cannot think like you don't have a God in heaven. Praise God. Because you are prayed by a different set of rules. Even though you are in this world, you are not of this world. Your story is different. Glory to God. They say, neighbor, newsflash, my case is different. says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So there's a way that God wants you to think. And one of the things I realized from the scripture is that God always makes plan to exonerate his own children in the time of famine. Now in Egypt, all right, you would see famine. And then in Goshen, you will see abundance. Glory to God. I said, are you here this morning? In Job 22 from verse 28, it says, you will decree a thing and it will be established, and light will shine upon your path. Praise God. But it says that when men, that's 29 now, when men are cast down, then you will say, there is a lifting up. When men are cast down, you know, he could have said, when men are cast down, then there will be a lifting for you. Do you know that? That is supposed to be the right rendition. When men are cast down, then you will be lifted. But it says, when men are cast down, you will say, there is a lifting. So, what puts those men down, why they were cast down, was because of what they were saying. So, in this time, you need to be mindful of what you say. From the scriptures, we can see practical wisdom on how we can thrive in famine. And the first is what you say. Your confession must not be that of defeat. Experiencing plenty in famine or thriving in famine starts from what you say. The words that proceed out of your mouth, no matter how things are, your confession must not be that of defeat or helplessness. You must maintain consistent confession of God's word. When men are cast down, you will say, say with me, say, I will say, there's a lifting. I can't hear you say, I will say, there's a lifting. Don't join them to say that we are finished in this country. Things are really hard. We are really suffering in this country. Everywhere red. This economy is choke. When you are saying that you choke, why are you surprised that things are choking you? Why are you surprised that everything is red? Your account is red. You are even going in the bank. How many of you have been there before? My hand is up. That you are on minus. You know all the loan halves. Your confession is important. Your confession is your possession. What you confess, you possess. In Numbers 14:20 here, the Bible says, truly the Lord says, as they have spoken in my ears, so will I do to them. In Numbers 13, God spoke to Moses to send spies to spy the land, to pick one person from each tribe. And he picked one person from each tribe, the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent them to Canaan. And they came back, you know, they saw the same thing, spent a number of days. But they saw the same thing, but they came with different reports. And 10 said, you know what? This land, you know, the people that live there, they consume the people and all of that. They brought a bad report of that land. But there were two people, Caleb and Joshua, they came and said that, see, we are able to possess the land. The Bible says that they were of a different spirit. They came with a different mindset. They came with a different understanding. So in this season, you must dare to be different. You must dare to say things differently. Not as you feel, but as the word of God declares. Glory to God. Your words have a way of creating your reality. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. How about you say, this is my best time. This is my best season ever. It's my most prosperous season. Glory to God. This is the time that I live well the most. Glory to God. You can say that to yourself. It's my best time. Glory to God. Do you know that in this time, people are still buying lands? They are still building houses? Why is your own different? And some of them don't even know God. Glory to God. I was talking to somebody and she was telling me how that she sold the house and then the person paid $370 million outright immediately. Why is your own different? Why are you complaining? Why must your story be different? You must embrace the word of God. You cannot be at a low level and be speaking defeat to yourself again. You are doing yourself disservice. Glory to God. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. So your confession will eventually be your reality. When men are cast down, you will say that there is a lifting. So what you say is so important. Don't join them and say, let's face reality. Reality in God does not exist. You must learn to say what the word of God says. Glory to God. Oh, shall this my best season in this year? This is my best season, my best time. I'm making the most money in this season. And that can be your reality. But you have to say it. You have to believe it. Say it from the place of conviction in your spirit. Glory to God. Say glory to God. Are you here this morning? Praise God. Number two, trust in the Lord and build your faith in God. You know what the king said? If the Lord does not help you, where can I get? I am literally incapacitated. If the Lord does not help you, I can't do nothing about it. I can't fix it. I can't help you. People will not leave their own bills and come and carry your own bills on their head. You don't understand? So you have to build your faith in God. You have to trust God. Glory to God. Psalm 34 verse 5 says, they looked unto him, they were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. There is no one that looks to God and sees shame. There's no one that trusts in God and sees shame. It doesn't happen. And it will never happen. You have to learn to trust in the Lord with all your heart. I will lift mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. I will lift mine eyes to the hills. But ultimately, my help comes from the Lord. He's the maker of the heavens and the earth. You must learn to trust God and build your faith. Like as I'm speaking this morning, your faith is being built up. Glory to God. In Psalm 20 verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But as for us, we will remember the name of the Lord. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Trust me, guys, vain is the help of men. Have you ever seen people that said that they would help you and the next minute they blocked you? Have you experienced that before? Talk to me. You have to trust in the Lord and believe God that God, you will settle me. You will fix me up. You will sort this bill for me. Your reliance must not be on men. Your reliance must be on God. It says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. You have to look unto him. Glory to God. He never fails. Jehovah never flops. Glory to God. You have to look to him. Number three, how to thrive in farming. Be spirit-led in your investment decisions. This is the wrongest time to lose money. If you lose money, your children will not forgive you. Your wife will not forgive you. Your husband will not forgive you. And you will not forgive yourself. Be spirit-led. Isaac sowed in the land. And in the same year, he reaped 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great. He went forward until he became very great. He was led by the Spirit. You cannot be doing everything now. You cannot be trying to, you know, fix things by yourself. It's not by power. It shall look like Bruce Lee. It is muscle that killed Bruce Lee. You have to be led. You have to do due diligence. You must know what you're doing. Let the Holy Ghost lead you. Before you invest money, ask for help. Seek for counsel. Don't go and put your hard-earned money in an investment and say that it's village people. It is your foolishness. It's not village people. Village people are busy with somebody else. They left you for a few weeks. They are not omnipresent. Your village people can only attend to one person per time. So you have some free space. Use that to think. You know, a lot of people think that the devil is everywhere. The devil is one person. Hear me very well. This will deliver you. The devil is one person. Satan is one person, and he can only be in one place at a time. So from what I'm sensing, I think he's in Australia. So you are on break. So it's not the devil all the time. Sometimes we just make wrong decisions. Glory to God. The Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. If you miss service on Wednesday, you miss a lot, because we talked about the Holy Spirit, how he leads us. He guides us. He instructs us. Glory to God. You have never been in this year before, so you need somebody who has been there before. The Holy Spirit has been here before. He knew how it turned out. So you have to seek him. Let him be your angel. Let him guide you. Let him instruct you. Let him tell you where to put your money. Let him tell you who to talk to. Let him tell you where to go and how to go about things. Don't lose money. And don't lose your job. You know, there are people that believe that when they lose their job, it's the devil. Sometimes it's not the devil. It's just pure lackadaisical attitude. You get to work, they say resume now. You get there 11:30, and you are expecting that you will not lose that job. If you lose your job and you go back home, if I am your child, I will sit you and say, "Daddy, please sit down. I want to talk to you. How did you lose your job?" My son can ask you that question. My son can ask you. My son, that there was a time in my life that I was always at home. You know, I was doing business. You know how that you can think that you are in business, but you know deep down you are not in business. You know, anybody have been there before? You are the one deceiving yourself that you are in business, but you know that you are not in business. Talk to me, guys. Talk to me. Should I talk? You know, you yourself know that this thing that you are saying that you are doing, you know that there's nothing there. You are just feeling yourself. Because wisdom is justified of our children. When you are in business, there will be profit. If there's no profit, you are not in business. Someone is like, "Wow, yes." So my son said, "Daddy, you're always sleeping in the afternoon." Say, "Don't you go out?" I said, "Oh yeah, I go out. It's just that by the time I come back, you know, when I go to work, you have gone to school, you will explain." No evidence. Be spirit led. And we say, "Neighbor, Be spirit led. Don't just hear that. Ah, there's one guy somewhere. Ah, if you give him 5,000, give him 5,000. If he could do, let me tell you, those who are really wealthy don't tell you the secret of their wealth. When somebody says, I want to get like you and tell you the secret of he himself, he wants to use you to make himself wealthy. You don't know. Praise God. Be led. Be led. I've discovered from the Bible that in the time of famine is when God raises new millionaires and billionaires. In times of famine. And I have a feeling that you are one of them. Before you say amen, what are you doing? Because we are quick to say amen. Say you are blessed. Maybe you don't even have a job. When the anointing comes on zero, it becomes a bigger zero. So the question is, what are you? This is not a time to sit at home and be expecting manners from heaven. The time of manner has gone. If you're a young person here, this is not a time to sit at home. If you go and volunteer in a car wash and be washing cars and be earning something, go and do it. Or go and join yourself. You know what the prodigal son did? The prodigal son. Have you read the story before in Luke 15? The Bible says he joined himself to the citizens. This was a guy who came from a wealthy background and he squandered all his resources and he was doing piggy business. That is the most dirty business. Have you ever been around pigs before? Oh my goodness. That's why you say, you hear as dirty as a pig. If anybody calls you that, ah. Praise God. Number four, to thrive in famine, order your life and avoid waste. Order your life. When Jesus fed the multitude, he asked them first of all to sit down. The first law of increase is order. If you would experience plenty in this time, that's why he says that good measure, press down. He has to press down before he runs over. So you have to order your life, order your finance, have a budget, avoid impulse buying. Some of you have bought things that you didn't need. You got them, you realize that you didn't need those things. In traffic, they are putting on your face. On your face, look away, look away, look away. You have bought shoes you will not wear in the next 5-6 months. You have bought actual beads that you know that you will not attend the wedding. You know you will not attend the wedding. Order your finance. Save up. You saw that in Genesis 41. One of the cures of famine is saving. Some of you here, you can testify that you had a season of abundance in your life. You can testify. But when this time of famine came, you know, in Yoruba, they say something like, Igba olobi orire. What that means is that there is times and seasons. There is time for everything. Even the Bible says there's a time to pluck. There's a time to plant. There's a time where it will look like you are the one that is the happening business guy. You are the happening fashion designer. You are the happening skit maker. A time will come. In fact, you are the happening pastor. You are the happening, you are feeling yourself. You don't know that God is raising one boy from in the desert. So the question is, what are you going to do with your time? This time that you are walking. You know, Jesus said something. He said, a time is coming that no man can walk. John 9:3. So you must understand that you will not always be this strong. You will not always be this energetic. You will not always be this smart. There are some jobs that once you pass some certain ages, they cannot employ you. It's not you they need. They need your younger brothers. It's not you that they want at that time. So you must save for that time. You must cut off the excess in your life and receive wisdom from the Holy Spirit. There are people who buy cars they don't need. There are people who buy things they don't even need. You are broke. You are marrying second wife. You are committing adultery. You are broke. In this time, you still have the liver. You have the audacity. Even the one you kept at home, you've not fed her. You had another mouth to eat. Let me tell you, adultery is expensive. I keep me two girlfriends. Keep me three boyfriends. One for data. One for... Are you not short-sighted? One that will drop you. The one. Oh my goodness. Glory to God. Say glory to God. Order your life. Then I will say, neighbor, if I leave your seat and go to five people and tell them, order your life. Stop spending anyhow. Tell them, receive self-control. If they're your friend, lay hands on them. Say, receive self-control. Receive self-control. It's not a 10515 Pro Max. You are seeing any 100K. It's not a 10515 Pro Max. Go and walk more. Order. Order. Glory to God. Last one. I have 7 points here, but this is number five. The last one is give. Give. Don't say because of family, you now cut your covenant obligations. Cut on your giving. Cut on your seed sowing. This is not a church where the pastor is hungry. That will wait for members to come and feed it. This is not a church like that. So if we are saying giving, we are saying it because we have practiced of the things that we have seen, which our hands have handled, which has produced results and is still producing. Glory to God. We prosper by our giving separately. So you cannot cut down on your covenant practices, on your giving, on your tithing, on sowing seeds, on kingdom investment. You cannot do that. If you do that, you are shortchanging yourself. So when people want to look for what to cut out, they say, tight. No. You've been keeping it. What have you amounted to? That's the honest truth. So we understand that when there is, let me show you the scripture. Proverbs 11, 24 to 25. Proverbs 11, 24 to 25. Please be fast. Proverbs 11 from 24. It says, one man gives freely. You see that? Yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Show me Message Translation. Message Translation 24. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. 25. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. So when you are saying, I receive help, God is saying, help others. I'm blessed. I am blessed in Jesus. And God said, bless others. That's why it's important that as we plan this, our Easter giveaway, you must be a part of it. Don't look at yourself first. When you sort others out, God is under compulsion to sort you out. He will fix you. You can't help yourself. He's the one that has to help you. If God does not help you, you are finished. Glory to God. So you must trust him. You see a brother in church, he's always wearing one shoe. Give them shoe. Buy shoes for them. You see a sister, instead of describing them, that's always wearing yellow clothes. Buy them clothes. Bring it as a surprise and code it. Say, I want to give somebody. Give them. The Bible says that you will have your reward. And your reward is that men will see you and they will applaud you. Okay, wow! Wow, nice. Where am I giving? That's your reward. Be a blessing. Is there somebody at your workplace? Some people keep old school, not because they want to keep, they don't have money to shave. I'm telling you the truth. What I've seen. Ladies have not made their hair in months. In months, I'm telling you. They now strategize and do low cuts. And do all back. And put bead and spice things up. Am I talking to sisters? Package it. Say, well, you've not made your hair, my sister. Can I? As a sister to sister. Sister to sister. Boy, if you should be anybody, it has to be defined. Because I can't hide. Go and meet Sahel. I say, Daddy, I don't pay for your hair. What am I looking for? What is lost? Be a blessing. Random people on the road. There's a guy selling pure water. Just offer to buy off everything. So the young man can go home and rest. Give to somebody. You know, I believe that the kind of giving that touches God the most is the giving to the poor. Because it says that he that gives to the poor is giving God alone. And God, he says, God will surely repay. I believe that. There are other givings, but that's the only one that I've seen that it says directly that you are lending to God. There are people, let me tell you. You know, when I see people, you know, send me chats and see that they are broke, I'm always laughing because you are not broke. How do I know? You have data. You don't even have a phone if you are broke. Talk to me, guys. Talk to me now. Either you are lazy or you have bad reputation. Think about it. You have a phone. Do you know how many things you can do online to make money? Do you know you can start shooting skits? You know, hello? Do you know people do all kinds of things? You have a smartphone, you are saying you are broke? Is that you are not thinking? Or you are lazy? Either of those two things. Okay, I'm not making sense, Abby. You have data. You have smartphone. And you are not smart. DJ, drop that. You understand how this thing works. I'm trying to teach you something. Everybody is somebody's testimony. The way you are, that you think that you are a nobody, you are some people's prayer point. Let me just be like Margaret. And Margaret is like, let me just be like this person. So people are like, let me just be like Piyush. For me, I know that I need help. That those they are looking up to, they serve. It's just that they are better than you. Hear what I'm saying? In this month of March, you will receive spiritual sense. So you will receive divine direction. in the name of Jesus.
You know, there are two people who are praise at this time. They are married men and entrepreneurs. Now, if you have a job, you're blessed. Somebody is paying your salary, you're highly blessed. So the least you can do is to be effective on that job. I said in this month of March, this month is our month of good things. It won't just be a cliche. You would experience it. Stand to your feet. Say you would experience it. You will see good things. You will wear good. You will see good. Good alerts. Good favor. Good open doors. Good opportunities. Good connections. You will drive good. You will smell good. You will see good. In the name of Jesus. God said to Jeremiah, he said, you have seen well. I declare in the name of Jesus, in this month of March, you will see well. You will see well. In the name of Jesus. As your strength is renewed like that of the eagle, I declare for those who are fainting in this season, receive strength. Receive strength. Receive strength. In the name of Jesus. For those who are in career, receive uncommon favor, uncommon increase, uncommon expansion, uncommon enlargement. In the name of Jesus. I speak divine provision into every marriage in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you will not lack. In the name of Jesus, the Lord supplies all your needs. When men are cast down, your story will be different. In the name of Jesus, you will be led into that place of gold. In the name of Jesus, cut out to shame, God will show up for you. In the name of Jesus, you are blessed. You are fruitful in all that you do. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name we are prayed. All eyes bowed, all eyes closed. If you are here today, you want to give your heart to Christ, I want to pray for you. Can you please just raise your right hand high above your head? You know you don't have a relationship with God. God bless you. Raise it high above your head. God bless you. I can see you, my sister. God, please raise it high above your head. Don't be ashamed. God bless you. Please raise it. I can see you, my brother. Please, ushers, let's reach out to them. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I saw you, brother. Please raise it high. Raise your hand high. God bless you. Father, we thank you. We receive your precious sons and daughters into your kingdom. We give you all the praise. Father, we give you praise. Let's join them to say this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for loving me. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for me. And I confess with my mouth that God raised him from the dead. I am saved. I am born again. I'm a new man in Christ. In Jesus' precious name. It's a good place to put those hands together for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the podcast. We're glad you're part of our community now and trust you are blessed by today's message. Please subscribe to the Shehu Oshibeso podcast. Like and share as well. You can also find Pastor Shehu on Instagram at Shehu Oshibeso or at Gracemade NG.